Let us sit prayerfully this morning and attentively as the gospel of the grace of God shall be brought to our hearing and consideration by Elder William Liberman. Let's receive the messenger, more important, the message. Very hearty, amen.
Amen.
Grace and peace to the household of faith. Amen? Thank God, thank God, thank God. Thank God for everyone that is here and even those that are on their way. Amen. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just thank you, Lord, for your kindness, your love, and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for the depthness of your word. Oh God, we thank you for your people, Father. We ask that you would breathe upon everyone here according to your will, plan, and purpose. Oh God, open the eyes of their understanding, Father. Oh God, we thank you for the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the Grace Gospel Church, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you'll continue to just take us from glory to glory in knowledge, understanding, and enlightenment of your word. We ask that you bless our pastors to continue to preach the gospel of the grace of God. Bless all the components of the ministry here, Father. And Lord, right now we ask that everything flesh, everything be put aside. Let Christ be exalted. Let Christ be magnified. And Lord, let the word of God bring forth according to your will, plan, and purpose. And we thank you, Father, and to you. We'll be always mindful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Let all the people of God say, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Trust everyone. Amen. Having a great day so far. Thank God for his word. Repeat after me. If you do not divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants, you will guarantee to be totally confused. Reason that men of God's people are confused spiritually. See, if you're confused spiritually, it's going to carry forth in other parts of your life. And God's purpose is for us to be enlightened, church. Amen. Not to be confused. But if the Bible is not written or read or understood, we need to get out of the microcosm that the Bible is Genesis, Malachi, Old Testament. Matthew, Revelation, New Testament. If you read the Bible, study the Bible that way, you will be confused. Amen. Guaranteed. And we're going to get right to the Word of God. I had my aunt over the house last week, and we were talking. And just the Lord had confirmed some things, and I said, amen. we had a good conversation, right, Auntie? And we said, amen. You know, consistency is a component of what? Comprehension. You cannot say it too many times. How many times have pastors said it? Over and over and over again. But somebody said, well, I've heard it all. You need to hear some more. Amen. All right, let's go back to the Word of God. The book of Galatians, please. Chapter 2. Now, while you're turning there, let's just point out a couple of things here. The book of Galatians was, if you look at the history of the book, it was basically the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write this book because there was some confusion that occurred during that time in terms of the message, the gospel that God gave to Paul and the transition that were taking place from the recipients of the law, kingdom law, and grace. There was a lot of confusion. So the Apostle Paul was there to straighten out some things. Amen. So we're going to read, again, Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And then I want you to read. You can read this in the King James. It'll be okay. And what we'll do at that point, we're going to focus on verse 7, church. Okay, let's go again. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. But the basic cogitation, the basic component of teaching today would be on verse 7. Deacon Gavin is our reader. Amen. You may begin.
We're reading from the book of Galatians, the second chapter, beginning verse 1, King James Version. Then, 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain.
Notice, Paul is going to communicate with who? This case, the leaders of the kingdom church, the message that God gave to the Apostle Paul that was different than a prior generation. Again, he's communicating that message. And what is that message? Did you maybe continue?
But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus.
Liberty in Christ. Mm-hmm.
That they might bring us into bondage.
Okay.
To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you.
The truth of the gospel. What gospel? See, church, that's something. Oh, the kingdom gospel. He said the truth of the gospel. Look in context, historically, what's happening here. God had given to the Apostle Paul a message that was unheard of in prior dispensations. That is the truth of the gospel. And by the way, all the word of God is true. Amen. It's just that we need to understand what is the application of the word to what is directed to us today as members in the body of Christ. Amen. Continue, D.
Verse 6. But of these who seem to be somewhat whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me.
Now, please focus on verse 7.
But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter.
You can go on and read verse 8.
For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles.
You see, church, read verse 7 in Italian Greek, please.
Galatians chapter 2, verse 7, interlineal Greek text. But on the contrary, seeing that I have been entrusted the gospel of the uncircumcision as Peter of the circumcision, for the operating in Peter to an apostleship of the circumcision operated also in me to the nations.
Now, church, you see, the gospel of the kingdom was given to the Apostle Peter, the leader of the kingdom church. Peter, James, John, Matthew, other what? Kingdom apostles. One categorization. The gospel of the grace of God was given to the Apostle Paul for another categorization. One, the commonwealth of Israel, the other, the body of Christ. And these two entities has to be what? You have to draw a line of demarcation, because there are some of God's people will go to their grave telling you that there's only one gospel. And if you treat the Bible as it's only one message, there's going to be a lot of contradictions that we're going to point out today. Amen? Oh, wait a minute. You know, it's only 12 o'clock. I got 15 minutes here. Amen. Okay, that's a long story. I'll be out on time, I promise. Now, you have to be, these messages must be what? Distinguished. We must, with the help of the grace of God, distinguish the messages of the Bible. We must distinguish the Bible kingdom message, the kingdom messianic gospel, from the gospel of the grace of God. Two different messages with two different methodologies of instructions. Now, let me just read something to you in the Kingdom Messianic Gospel. This is something that our pastor wrote some time ago. I'm just going to read a part of this, and then we'll go right to some things that we need to understand to have clarity of purpose, church. One of the greatest inaccuracies of all biblical suppositions is the standard practice of dividing or designating the Bible into two sections. What are they? Old Testament, New Testament. Again, we note the definition of the Greek word theoi, which is translated both covenant and testament, which denotes both a contract and will. Technically speaking, when we look at the messages of the Bible, the designations Old and New Testament or covenants could not possibly represent the entire classifications of covenants or contracts that God made with men as he set forth the terms of his relationship with mankind down through the ages. The covenant of the Mosaic Law, later called the Old Covenant or Testament, was not made until approximately 2,500 years of human history had passed. So there was no law covering the period from Adam to Moses, because the law was not given until God delivered it to Moses. So prior to the former decrees of the Mosaic Covenant, God related to mankind in a less formal way through his moral principles. Thus, note the covenants of the book of Genesis, the Edenic, Adamic, Noetic, and Abrahamic covenant could currently be called the Old Testament or covenant, which is actually the designation of the Mosaic Law, which is the covenant contract that God made with the nation of Israel. Now, let me just kind of slow up here. First of all, the religious systems would tell you that the Old Testament began the book of Genesis. Genesis, that information in Genesis, you're not under the law. Technically speaking, the law really, in terms of God's a manifestation purpose, it really does not begin until Exodus chapter 19. That's when God called Moses to the mount. And God gave instructions to Moses. In other words, the Ten Commandments, church, that is the beginning of the law. So somebody said, what about prior to that time? Well, there were dispensations and covenants. It just wasn't the old covenant. Now, we could have another series on that. But we just want you need to understand that technically from all the way from Exodus through Malachi, you're under law. And even in the kingdom gospel, the gospel that was preached by Jesus, James, and John, and the others, they were still under the law with the prophecy of the kingdom. Also, up into the first seven chapters of the book of Acts, you're still under kingdom law. You only get it to the grace dispensation when God raised up the chief of sinners, the one that God gave this message that was unheard of in prior dispensations. Now, here's the key, church. We need to understand the workings of God in terms of the seven dispensations, because in these seven, there are the two messages that we're going to focus on today. Again, kingdom gospel, grace gospel. Now, but you need to understand the seven dispensations. Basically, what's a dispensation? To dispense or administer an economy or house rule. The issue is the policy, program, or instructions. Now, there are seven dispensations. One, innocence. Two, conscience. Three, human government. Four, promise. Five, law. Six, grace. Seven, kingdom. Now, if you just go ahead and just try to mess up all these dispensations, if you take the rule of human government and apply that to the rule of law, you'll be confused. Or you take the rule of innocence and apply that to our dispensation today, you'll be totally confused. You're trying to mix up rules and directives for different time periods. And you'll never have understanding. Give an example. We're sponsoring a baseball game, the Grace Gospel Church. We're taking about 17 people that will be attending a baseball game in a couple of weeks. And I wouldn't it be interesting. I thought about this last night. Wouldn't it be something? You're going to get to a baseball game, and all of a sudden the sports announcer says, look, everyone, we're going to change the rules of the game today. This is a baseball game, but we're going to play it with football rules. There will be total chaos. You'll never understand it. Because all of a sudden, somebody hit a home run and said, instead of one, you get 6 points for a touchdown. No, you never understand it. Because you're trying to make application from one sports rule to another, and you will never understand it. You will never understand this Bible trying to take what Jesus said in the kingdom gospel, and you try to make that make sense in the grace gospel. You'll never understand it, church. Let law be law. Let kingdom law be kingdom law. And let grace be grace. What about a covenant? A covenant is a pledge, an alliance, a contract, or an agreement between two parties. Most religious systems specify, we just mentioned this, the Old Testament, they say what, Genesis and Malachi, and the New Testament covenant, Matthew, Revelation. It is critical for God's people to understand that the epistles of Paul comprises what we call the grace covenant, which is different in scope, and content. And knowledge from the other books of the Bible. Now, you might say, well, you're minimizing the other books of the Bible. No, we're not. Let me say this. Paul picks this up in Corinthians. All the books of the Bible, we can use, they're glorious. Why? Everything that God wrote to man, conveyed to man, is glorious. Why? Because it talks about man's sin and God providing a solution to the sin in the future death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Paul refers that as glorious. But it's just that in our covenant, in the gospel of the grace of God, it's more glorious. One is glorious, other is more glorious. Amen. So we need our microcosm, mode of thinking, must change in order to develop a total comprehension of the Word of God. You cannot take the rules that apply again to one dispensation and apply those rules to another. The grace gospel church essence in grace, we need to understand the differences in these two messages. Now, what are some of the differences? One difference. In the kingdom messianic gospel, what was revealed in Old Testament times was known. The birth of Jesus, his life, his death, it was known. What God revealed to the Apostle Paul was unknown in prior generations. One was known, other unknown. Beginning in the book of Genesis, Genesis 3:15, God gave a prophecy. In fact, even when Adam sinned, messed up, which God knew, right? Someone said, why did God mess up purpose? The Bible said God prepared a coat of skins. In other words, that was for the animal to die, there had to be blood sacrifice. So in essence, God was already in manifestation. The solution, by the way, the sin problem, somebody said, the sin problem took place, it was solved 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross. No, that was the manifestation. The sin problem was solved in eternity. Before you even got here, church, before you even got here, God already had your life already solved, already worked out. Everything already worked out. Why are you struggling in time, trying to figure out in time what God has already worked out in eternity? He's already done it. But in essence, the kingdom gospel, it was what was known. Now, we're going to go, let's go to John. Let's go to the kingdom book. Let's do some teaching there. Let's go to John. Now, we know in the the story, John was introduced Jesus, and his commission was to get the nation of Israel to repent. He was a forerunner of Jesus, and John said something, let's go to John 1:29, and John was preaching, introducing the ministry of Jesus. Now, go to John 1:29, the kingdom book. See, first of all, church, whenever you mention a book, right now, we're saying, John, whatever in this book, God is not writing to you. It's to the nation of Israel, the commonwealth of Israel. But there's some information here that we need to apply to have comprehension on some things. Again, John 1:29. Then you can read that, please. Yeah, go ahead, yes.
We're reading from the book of John, the first chapter, and the 29th verse. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Wait. John said, how did John know that? John says, right, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John was a student of the Old Testament. John knew that God in the Word would promise a deliverer, the Messiah. And by the way, Messiah only means deliverer of Israel. John knew this. So when the Holy Spirit, how many know the Holy Spirit is a teacher? He is the teacher. The Holy Spirit revealed to John that he's the one. He said, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Well, we know in our gospel, from the decree, from the component of God's decree, he had already taken away the sins by what? In eternity. But understand, the information that you get in these books, church, you're only going to get the information as revealed in that covenant. And as it is revealed in that covenant, it's all focused on what? Time. So it's just John is saying, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. In other words, he knew. Isaiah, read the book. Jeremiah, Ezekiel. They knew that God was going to send forth a coming deliverer. It was revealed in the scriptures. Keep that thought in mind. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5. In the kingdom gospel again, what was preached? Jesus Christ was preached. It was preached. It was known. What about our gospel? Ephesians 3, 5, please.
We're reading now from the book of Ephesians, the 3rd chapter and the 5th verse, King James Version. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men.
What was not made known? The mystery, our gospel. It was not made known to the sons of men. Continue, Deke.
As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit.
By the Spirit. Notice, church, again. Kingdom gospel, known. Grace gospel, unknown. Prior to God revealing this to the apostle Paul. One known, other unknown. Now, in the essence, in the kingdom gospel, another difference. In the kingdom gospel, Jesus Christ is preached according to prophecy. Again, it ties into what we just said. In other words, there was the prophecy was one day God is going to save Israel from their sins. The prophecy of the coming Messiah. It's all through the Old Testament. But in the grace gospel, Jesus Christ is preached according to mystery. One, he's preached according to prophecy. Kingdom gospel. Grace gospel, he's preached according to mystery. And you cannot miss these messages. Because if you do, it will develop into a lot of confusion. Kingdom gospel, prophecy. So when Jesus was born, understand church, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, right? Raised and grew up in Nazareth. Born of a virgin. That was not new to the scholars, to the people, God's prophets, others. That was not new. The day he was born in Bethlehem, that was not new. That was on a manifestation of what God had already said. Everything comes through a saying. God already said, Israel, I am going to save you. And that's another difference between the contrast, the gospels. In the kingdom gospel, God promised one day Israel will be saved from their sins. In the grace gospel, you have already been saved from your sins. In the kingdom gospel, it's all futuristic. In the grace gospel, everything is already done. The kingdom gospel, one day, it's all futuristic in nature. One day, God is going to save Israel. One day, he's going to set up his kingdom. One day they will accept him as the Messiah. But in the grace gospel, the directives of the grace gospel is everything is already done. Kingdom gospel is a component of time. Grace gospel is a component of eternity. In the kingdom messianic gospel, the primary focus is on time. Israel, first of all, you need to understand the two categorizations. In the kingdom messianic gospel, the categorization of God's elect is the commonwealth of Israel. In the gospel of the grace of God, God's elect is the body of Christ. And God has different instructions for different categorizations of his elect. And if you miss these categorizations, you're going to think that you have to be water baptized to be saved. If you miss these categorizations, you would think Jesus made a statement. I read it over there. I was doing some studying. And if you don't divide this Bible, you'll be confused. Because I read, you know, one account of the Gospels, Jesus said, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, you ain't going to be forgiven. Now, that's hard. Now, somebody said, wait a minute, Jesus said it. Yes, Jesus said it, but who was he talking to? It could have been the body of Christ because in manifestation-wise, what? The body of Christ was not manifest at that time. Now, there are people that right today, God's people are what? Some of them have been hurt by others. You know, people to pray, right? There are people that have been hurt in ministry. They're hurt, whatever. I ran to someone in the post office about a year ago. And, you know, his brother's going through. He ain't been in church in 10 years. He said, "Little man, I just can't, man." He said, "Well, what's the problem?" So, you know, he didn't mention the situations, but he was really hurt. So now he feels bad. He read over there, Jesus said, "Well, if you don't forgive, he said, I just can't forgive this person, the things that happened." So he was, his cogitation that God had a big bet going to rip him apart because he couldn't forgive. Why? He read over there where Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. No, that is in the kingdom, messianic gospel. Our gospel, the instructions under grace, we are to forgive because God first forgave us, church. That is our motive to forgive. Because we were forgiven. Not on the condition aspect, if, you know, we live in this present evil age. Now, somebody said, the fact that you forgive, let me tell you something. The fact that you forgive, that's not in your nature to forgive. You should thank God for that. Amen. Amen. It's the human depraved nature. You're going to bring me, you're going to hit me with a bat, let me get two bats. That's the human depraved nature. You're going to get me, I'm going to get you. But when God holds back your depravity and calls you to forgive, that is God put the forgiveness in your heart. But now, if there are many of God's people, have made the transition, absent from the body, what? Present with the Lord. And let's suppose they couldn't forgive. They just couldn't. God did not enable them. That's the point. God did not enable them for what? His purpose? Does that have any effect on their eternal abode in Christ? No. Because they were chosen when? In eternity. Take salvation out of time. You keep salvation in time with all this crazy stuff in the matrix. You'll be up today, down tomorrow. You know, when I was in high school, they had to call it yo-yo. You know what I'm talking about. Boy, I was good with that bad boy. My teacher threw me out of class one time. I should have been focused on my math. I was back in the back doing my yo-yo, you know. I love that. I could do that. You know, I don't know whether they say those things anymore. But anyway, what happened? Yo-yo, you're up and down. That bad boy goes up and down, yo-yo, right? Many of God's people live yo-yo lives because they're up today, down tomorrow, because one day they think they're saved, the other day they think they're lost. Why? Because they take the Bible and do not understand what God did for you. He did it in eternity, not time. Amen. And if you focus on time in terms of God's eternal workings, you think you were saved one day and lost the other. Everybody now, I mean, for those that may not know this story, I mentioned this maybe 5 years ago. I was going through. Man, you know, you have the, I mean, these days where it's like the devil, it's like you were going through. And I was just going through. I mean, you name it. Kids had a crazy day that day. You know, we all had them. Parents have children. You know, sometimes they have a bad day, right? They give us a bad day, right? My wife and I, no, we need fuss that day, dear baby. No, we had a good day. Amen. We had most good days. Amen. Crazy things happened that day. My boss took $2,000 from my bonus. And I was driving Port Huron. He just moved some figures. And I was doing all the hard work. My counterpart, he was taking my profits. And they moved the figures. He got the bonus. I didn't get out of anything, right? So I'm saying, like, all of a sudden, these crazy things happen. I'm driving Port Huron, leaving a medical clinic. And here comes some preacher. Said, some of you are having a bad day. He spoke. I said, amen. He said, have you ever wondered you may not be saved? And God, I was saved in eternity, but I had a bad day, and I said, you know what? I'm going to make sure I'm saved. Pulled on the side of the road, cried out to Jesus. Jesus, maybe this is why I'm having all these trouble and problems. Save me, Lord. Save me, Lord. Got salvation, what, in time, all this crazy stuff. And when the first 4 weeks came to his church, pastor, by God's decree, teaching the same thing, grace gospel, kingdom gospel, and just understand, wait a minute, why do we have bad days? It's God's purpose. Amen. God has a purpose in that. God has use for them of your bad day. Because if God gave every one of us a great day every day, we all be spoiled. God is going to send you through the valley of dry bones. He's going to take you through the valley. He's going to give you problems and tests and trials. And it's all designed not for your destruction, but for your spiritual maturity. He has a purpose in everything that goes down in your life. God has a purpose for it. He has use for it. If he did not have use for it, it wouldn't be there.
Come on here. That's right.
You may tell me God has a use for this sickness or this financial challenge, this situation, my loved one, he has use for that. Why is it there? It's there because he has use for that. It's all there to bring us what? Draw us closer to him. Because what we do, we focus on what we're going through in the matrix. We focus on time. God's purpose is eternality. So, in essence, here, I'm crying out to God. trying to get saved. You see, if you feel that you contribute to your salvation, if you feel that you brought something to the table, you feel that you're going to have to bring some other things to the table. You feel that you're going to, if you brought something to the table, whatever it may be, for by grace are we saved through faith in the Son, not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, not of baptism, not of tongues, not of faith, not of anything, lest any man should boast. If you feel you need to bring anything to the table, you feel that you have to keep bringing things to the table to stay in right fellowship with God. But in essence, salvation is of the Lord. And you have a lot of groups that are fussing over one group over baptism. So they say, you don't need to, they'll say, you got to be baptized. And then they say, no, you don't need to be baptized, but you have to use your faith. So now you bring your faith to the table. See, anything that you are bringing to the table, it's works. And the Bible tells it's not a worse, not a worse, not a worse, lest any man should boast. The same people that are boasting how they got baptized or how they spoke in tongues are the same ones that are boasting on how they use their faith. I heard some of them tell the brothers, brother, you're not saved because you're not using your faith. Thank God salvation is of the Lord and no one else. Salvation is of the Lord. Amen. So, in the kingdom gospel, the primary focus, again, is what God would do for Israel in the future. Mm-hmm. In the grace gospel, it's what God has already done for us in eternity. The kingdom gospel, time. Grace gospel, eternity. Kingdom gospel, what he's going to do for Israel. Grace gospel, what he's already done for the body of Christ. And one area that caused so much confusion, I mentioned water, this is runs synonymous with most denominations. Some people, the microcosm, some people will hang on to water baptism. This is their hobby horse. Ellen Nixon made a statement about a few years ago that some people, they love their hobby horse, right, Ellen? They have to have a hobby horse. And that hobby horse, the baptism is something, it's like a hard nut to crack. Because some people, they are convinced you have to have a water. And if you do not separate these messages, you're going to be confused about water baptism. Let's do some teaching. Let's move on. Some of you are very familiar. Come on. Because we're going to do it. Let's go to Matthew. First of all, let's do this first. What about the body of Christ, baptism? See, first of all, let's go to 1 Corinthians first. See, we are baptized in the body of Christ. Our baptism is spiritual. We are baptized spiritually. Israel's baptism is what? Physical. And you cannot take Israel's baptism, church, and mix it with what? The baptism of the grace. Because you're going to have some contradiction, and you'll be making up stuff. Try to figure that out. Let's go to our gospel first. Let's go to our gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse... Let's read. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 1, 12 through 17. This is our gospel. Now, what does our gospel say about baptism? Now, while you're turning here, the Apostle Paul, this church at Corinth, just like churches today, they had a big fuss going on. In other words, they're fussing about what? Names, baptism, same thing today. People fussing about what? Bishops. They say, you know, if you're a bishop, you know what? You know, he's a suffering bishop. He or she is a suffering bishop. Then he or she is a bishop. Then if you're an elder, well, see, you need another promotion. In other words, people today are hung up in titles. And don't mention the word layman. I mean, you say, I love the Lord. You know, you tell them, I love the Lord. I be a layman. Amen. They figure you ain't saying you're a layman. See, all hung on titles. Hung on baptisms. And how about Paul? What was his instructions to the body of Christ? Let's go here, Deke. Let's read here, please.
We're reading from the book of 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, beginning verse 12, King James Version. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul.
Yeah, I'm of Paul, see?
And I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided?
See?
Was Paul crucified for you?
Mm-hmm.
Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul?
See that? See, church? They were all, they said, no, we identify with Paul's baptism. In other words, no, we can identify with Paul's baptism. But they were focused on physicality. Some places, if the bishop, if a certain person does not baptize you, you ain't saved. They feel they have to contribute to your salvation. Come on, let's keep going.
Verse 14. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius.
Mm-hmm.
Lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other.
Mm-hmm.
For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect.
All right, now here's what we're going to do. You see what Deacon just read? He said, Christ sent me not to baptize. Christ sent me not to baptize. I want you to hold your finger. In fact, if you can, hold your finger on the word baptize. And I want you to go to Matthew. Just hold your finger on the word baptize. He said, Christ sent me not to baptize. Now, go to Matthew 18, Kingdom Gospel. 1 Corinthians, Grace Gospel. Matthew, Kingdom Gospel. Matthew 18. Matthew 18, okay? 20. 18 to 20, okay? Just read that, please.
Now from the book of Matthew, the 18th chapter, the 18th through the 20th verses, King James Version. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I didn't want that. My fault. Let's go to 20. That's 28. I'm sorry. 28. 28, 18. Now, this is a harbor horse that many of God's people, they will not, they will hang to this word baptism. It caused a lot of confusion. Okay?
Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. King James Version. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
20.
Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Now, church, you see where it says, go ye therefore, and for teach all nations. That's poor exegesis in the King James, because that is technically means having gone. Instead of go, it means having gone, okay? Now, notice it says here, teach them Jesus' commandment to the disciples. Go, having gone, baptize. Paul's instructions were, Christ sent me not to baptize. Now, how do you reconcile that? Again, the kingdom gospel, baptism. You haven't gone, haven't been baptized. Grace gospel, Christ sent me not to baptize. Now, you know what a lot of God's people say? The Bible contradicts itself. Because in one case, Paul said, Christ sent me what? Not to baptize. In the other account, I was going baptized. Again, you have to draw a line of demarcation between the kingdom, messianic gospel, and the gospel of the grace of God. In other words, for how are we baptized today? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, we were all baptized by one spirit into one body. We were in eternity. Our baptism via the medium of identification was all spiritual. We were baptized. How? We were baptized into what? The body of Christ in eternity. The body, the commonwealth of Israel. Their baptism was physical via the medium of water. Water baptism. Our baptism is spiritually via the medium of having been identified in eternity with the body of Christ. One baptism spiritual, other baptism physical. Now, you remember we talked about confusion. What's the confusion in this? If the church today take what Jesus said in terms of water baptism, the instructions under the kingdom, messianic gospel, and you try to apply that to today, then you're going to have all the fuss and the fight. Okay, how were you baptized? Well, I was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How were you baptized? I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, you've been, right? So then, if you have a place that focuses in on what? Jesus, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and if you're from another persuasion, you go there, they'll make you, what, the leaders there, you have to be baptized again. There are some of God's people that have been baptized 10 times, moving around, trying to what? Trying to fulfill the rudiments and the doctrines of men. When God's already taken care of this in eternity. Our baptism, spiritual. For about one spirit. In other words, baptism, church, is synonymous with identification. How are we identified today as members in the body of Christ? Spiritual baptism. How were they identified? How were they identified? They, commonwealth of Israel. Physical baptism. That's why when you go there in Acts, you go there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, what are you going to see? Water baptism, because those were the directives under that covenant. Have you noticed in our gospel, I call these the deeper, let's say Paul's 14 epistles. You notice Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians. When the word baptism is used, it's not even synonymous with water. He refers our gospel. You get a chance, do some cross section study of our gospel, the word baptism. You'll see that it's all what? Spiritual. But somebody just said, you just read Corinthians where Paul said, I don't know, he was baptized, he said, mission couple of names. Well, understand, this was a transition period, and there were some of God's people that the purpose of God was to move them from law to kingdom law. So there was a transition period where they were baptized, some physically during this transition. But as the Holy Spirit, as you move on, because God, the knowledge is progressive, you know, there's no reference to what? Water baptism in our gospel today. And you tell me the men of God's people are under condemnation over baptism. Feel guilt. Because they feel that they weren't baptized a certain way. No, our baptism is all spiritual. That's why in the Grace Contract Church, as we distinguish the messages in the Bible, we need to understand that our gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, is basically, it's all spiritual. It's not physical. It's spiritual. And there's another area where God's people needs, in terms of this microcosm, you need to expand your microcosm in terms of what? God's word. Because you'll be confused about the word heaven. Most of God's people, so you speak of heaven, they're going to say, oh, one day, I'm going to be going a trillion miles away. I'm going to be in this beautiful place. That's my heaven. But somebody say, well, explain further. Well, go over there in the book of Revelation. Wait, slow up. See, right there, when you mention Revelation, it should tell you Revelation was written by who? John. John was a kingdom apostle. So the information in Revelation is all kingdom focused. Because if you don't understand that, you're going to read some things Jesus said in Matthew 24 about the coming tribulation period. Why is it that many organizations, they will argue about the church going through the tribulation period? What they're doing is taking information in the kingdom gospel and telling you that you're going to go through the tribulation period. Separate those messages, church. What about heaven, the word heaven? In the kingdom gospel, the commonwealth of Israel's eternal abode is a physical place. You read over there in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. It states, now, again, this is a kingdom message. John said, I saw the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. And he goes on in other parts, talks about the streets paved with gold. I tell you what, I'm pointing at myself. Because I remember years ago, I would say, oh, this all this things down here, one day I'm going to be this new Jerusalem, all this beautiful what? 1,500 miles high, this beautiful city. Oh, that is going to be my eternal abode. In other words, I was focused on a spiritual place. Notice, in the kingdom messianic gospel, the focus of, in terms of, eternal heaven, is focused on a what? Locale. A place. If you look at the eternal workings of God, right now we're in the dispensation of the grace of God. One day when God's purpose, now we learned this, right, in purpose. Why are we here, still here, church? You thought about this, why are we still here? Why is this dispensation still here? God still has use for this dispensation. When the purpose of this dispensation has been fulfilled, we are out of here via the rapture. And the only reason the rapture has not occurred yet, because God still has a purpose for this time period. Now, two things are going to happen. Some of us are going to go by the way of whatever. Absent from the body, present in the Lord. And whatever purpose God has for you, that's what's going to happen. Now, I know this is not, I don't mean to be preached negative, but some of God's people are going to leave the time capsule by a car accident. Others by a bullet. I was just going to fall asleep, not my mother-in-law, Mother Goodlow. Oh, Lord. I said, she just what? Bait a case for an exercise club 2 days later, after from the body of the presence of the Lord. Now, I can, you know what? Everything is decreed. But we can still bring our petition to the Lord. And I'm not pastor. You know, I don't like pain. Pastor, I don't like pain. So I said, Lord, you hold the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Lord, if it's your will, in my time, come take me out of here. I, you know, going by way of, you know, illness for 10, 20 years, whatever. But either way, hey, accept God's will. First Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, in every situation, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Come left, come death, whatever God, whatever your course is, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God has what? Your course. Already laid out. See, those frames are already complete. Those frames are already there. And whatever manifestation those frames take, it's already there. Some of God's people think that, oh, something shows up. Oh, nobody knew about this. God just found out about this. Now, he's the God of everything. And something happens in your life, you just think God just found out about it. No, it was just revealed to your conscience. So going back to heaven, church, see, the heaven and the kingdom gospel, this beautiful, by the way, let me say this. That's a beautiful experience to have this beautiful, what? God is going to the rapture, then what's going to happen? It's the 7-year tribulation period. And after the 7-year tribulation period, God is going to usher in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. But do you know all of that's focused toward the commonwealth of Israel? And then after the 1,000 years of Christ, the 1,000-year reign of Christ, the devil is going to be loose for a season. God's going to wipe him out. And then he's going to renovate the earth by fire. That's why over in Peter, he says what? The elements will melt with fervent heat. That's what he's talking about. God is going to renovate this earth by fire to purify it. And then after this, the new Jerusalem is going to come down from the heavens to the earth. But that is all directed toward the commonwealth of Israel. Their abode is a place. But somebody said, oh, see, people, that's most of God's people think carnal. They said, wait a minute, you mean that's not for me? Oh, but I'm missing out. What God has for you is a trillion times more glorious than that. And we're not minimizing that. What about our abode? You see, their abode is a place in the body, the grace gospel, in the grace gospel, our gospel, our abode is a position. Their abode is a place. Our abode, we are sitting together in the heavens in Christ. Wherever he is, we're there. But somebody say, well, will I be in the New Jerusalem? Is Jesus going to be there? We're there. He's the head. We are the members in his glorious body, the body of Christ. Wherever he is, we are. We are with him. He's the head, church, with the body. So yes, we'll be there in terms of what? Our eternal abode being in him. But the work in terms of physicality, the eternal place, beautiful now, but that's going to be directed what? To what? God's elect, commonwealth of Israel. So we understand this, then we can have the peace that passes all understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, in the next paragraph in the document, going back to the covenants, the messages. In the messages, see, here's the confusion. Speaking to the messages. When John came to introduce Jesus, Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, in the kingdom messianic gospel, the kingdom gospel was offered to Israel. And you carry this over into Peter on the day of Pentecost, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. It was offered to Israel. But God's purpose, they rejected the gospel kingdom message. Now, there were some that were saved, from the preaching of Peter, but by and large, the nation rejected that kingdom message. The kingdom of God was offered, but the kingdom message was not implemented. I said it one more time. The kingdom gospel message was offered to Israel, but it was not implemented. It wasn't implemented because God had a secret. And what was that secret? Something that was never before heard of in prior times. That message is on hold. The message is on hold. It's not being implemented today. We live in today in what? This present evil age. Because the message was not implemented. If you take a message that God is not implemented today, but if you read some accounts where it's not implemented, and you try to implement those things today, and if it doesn't work out, you'll be mad at God. I remember an account, a situation where a friend of ours years ago had a sister that was ill in Chicago. She loved her sister. She was ill. So you know what she did? She went to a prayer rally. And she wanted, you know, just, amen. First of all, we should pray one for another, right? Amen. You have an ailment, pray. I petition, pray. Lord, according to your will, right? But we pray according to God's will and purpose. So she prayed. She got to the prayer line. This healing prosperity preacher went over there, Matthew, and said, you lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. He said, sister, go to Chicago, lay hands on your sister, and she'll be healed. She got a plane, drove to Chicago, flew to Chicago, laid hands on her sister to be healed, and 2 weeks later, she died. Because what happened? Lay hands on the sick and they are recovered. That is what the kingdom gospel message, but that message is on hold. Now some might say, does God heal today? Absolutely. But God heals today according to his will, plan, and purpose. You have two of God's elect. They can have the same ailment, the same situation, the same circumstance. One to pray God to heal them. The other pray they may die. Somebody say, what's the difference? Oh, they didn't use their faith. You see the problem? Everything works according to God's eternal plan and purpose. So after this, you know, she had a nervous breakdown because she was mad at God. Because God, in her mind, God did not heal her sister. But what's liberating in our gospel? Well, first of all, if I had a loved one, I have a lot of my family's on the East Coast. If somebody prayed for me, you know, hey, say, William, I live 1,000 miles away. Come on, pray that I be here. Wait. I don't have to waste $1,000 on airplane tickets. Say, brother, sister, let's pray right now. Lord, have your way according to your will, plan, and purpose. And if they are healed, it's because of God's purpose. If they're not, it's also because of God's purpose. See, in our gospel, everything is already worked by what God has already done. By his working of what he's already done, he's already worked everything out according to his will, plan, and purpose. So, in conclusion, the key to the liberating component of our gospel, these messages in the Bible, let law be law, let grace be grace, let kingdom be kingdom. Wherever you read, now you can read with cogitation and understanding because you can read all the Leviticus. You're not going to get no more information that's in that book. Don't go to Leviticus and try to understand actualization by God's decree in eternity because manifestation in time, it ain't there. Because you're only going to get the information that's conveyed in that covenant. Those covenants are written from a frame of information. But then you can go to our gospel and it can shine light on those other covenants. Because what you can see, somebody say, like we mentioned, what about in the kingdom gospel? Well, what about our gospel? See, you read the light of the kingdom gospel, you say, oh, they got baptized. You know, Jesus said, go be baptized. They got baptized, so that's why they were saved. No, from the standpoint of our gospel, Peter, James, and John, Moses, David, they were all saved because they were chosen in eternity before the foundation of the world. Before they came on the scene, God still, they're already saved. But where? You get that information, what? In our gospel. And our gospel brings enlightenment. Our gospel brings understanding. Our gospel brings comprehension. So wherever you go, whatever move you make, when you read this Bible for cogitation and understanding, you should always focus on the one thing should bring comprehension to your understanding, that the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation is the gospel of the grace of God. God bless you.